Still not sure why I agreed to do this. It's been a lot of good inspiration this weekend here in general. Peter had said the other day that life is a struggle. And each one of us here have a story. And as I go through this, you might discover that there's some stories behind me as well. Yesterday, Jason, he mentioned being touched by Jesus. And we all need that. One of his points that he brought out that stuck to me the greatest was when Jesus brought the little girl back to life. And his interpretation of that statement, going back to a little bit more of the Greek, Hebrew, that would have been in Greek, I think. It was, "Sweetheart, it's time to get up." So what got this started is I was talking with Randall one time on the phone. We spend a little too much time on the phone sometimes, but he was telling me about some of his studies he was doing. And I told him, I'm like, well, I have been taking life pretty easy. I really haven't been doing much. And then I'm like, well, actually, there was this man in the community. I was riding, he stopped, I met him one day. He was walking along the road, and I was working close to the road. And so we visited a while, and we actually had quite a lengthy discussion. He was doing his morning walk, walking in prayer and talking in tongues. And we had a good debate about it, a discussion. And one day he drops off a letter and he wants to start having coffee together and stuff like that. Well, I discovered, till then I kind of discovered my human weakness. You start having a debate with me, I'm going to agree with you for how long? And then all of a sudden I get home and I'm like, no, I don't agree with you. So I'm like, oh, I'm just going to write with you for a while. If you write me a letter, I'll write letters back and we'll have a discussion that way. So anyhow, we had wrote a couple letters back and forth, and once he discovered we didn't quite agree on a few things, pretty much things cut off largely. But anyhow, I was telling Randall how I was doing this research, and he's like, well, that's just a great inspiration for a young person to be doing. I'm like, well, I didn't know that these letters are single. And I'm like, single or married, there's no difference here. We're all called to be missionaries, to reach out to the world around us. I thought he could have given me an easier topic. Like something a little bit more like Micah did, something his passion. If he would have left me talk, fire EMS, I have a slide presentation on lithium batteries that's probably 45 minutes. if that interests you, I could talk about first fatality accident I was at, first time I actually called a fatality. It's not easy calling teenagers dead when they're supposed to be alive, or children dead. Children's probably one of the hardest ones that I've done. A humorous one that we had is we one time got called out for a horse stuck in a plow. literally stuck in a plow. I thought there was a little confusion on dispatch when we got called out for that, and I'm like, horse stuck in a plow, that's interesting. We got a lot of old orders in our area that do use horses for some, but work, and I thought that was a little confusion, but no, literally the horse was stuck in the plow. We've had cars torn literally in half. Our roads are not Pennsylvania roads. We're in Indiana. We do have little rolling and bumps and stuff in some of our roads, but can you explain 10 to 15 foot high impacts in trees? We've been out motorcycles trapped under some ice. House fires that had 30 living cats in it. or crawling through houses that had 4 untrained dogs in them. We have a lot of interesting one. We've even had a person hanging upside down over a manure pit. Thankfully, we got him pulled out in time. He did lose both legs over the deal. We had one patient, I vividly remember that one. I walked up to the house and the medic was coming out. Yes, he had sat in the chair for 2 weeks. We walked in the house and we walked over probably a foot and a half of newspapers on the floor and everything else. Or the time my fellow EMT came out the house looking like he saw a ghost, and I went in there to see why. And yes, the patient was standing, but he was dead. Drug overdoses, we've been in a lot. Rescue pets that people consider more valuable than children. And yes, they want to give you hugs, and so far I've avoided most of the kisses, but anyhow. we've had a few minor collapses, stuff like that. We have not rescued any cats out of trees. I think Harvey has done that, maybe. No cats out of trees, but we've been on standby for police when they had little, we have a troubled children's school in our area, and so we had to be on standby for police already when they were trying to get all these naughty boys off of the out of trees and off of roofs and everything else. Anyhow, but Randall thought I could do a little better job than this, so a little bit about myself. Obviously, you know, my passion till now is fire EMS. I love it. It's my passion. I am the assistant EMS chief on our department. Grew up in northern Indiana. Do work the home farm and install fences. Grew up in the, my parents raised me in the Indiana Ohio Whistler Conference. And my marital status is the same as probably most of you here. Meet the same requirements anyhow. Come from a decent sized family. Have 10 of us siblings. Only my one brother is married. Anyhow, so lackadaisical or committed. I wasn't sure what you were expecting when you saw this. I had two brethren approach me when they found out I was having this, and they were like, be careful what you're talking about committed about. You don't need to be trying to get everybody to stay single. And I'm like, no problem. Anyhow, so this topic, it does come a little bit back to a little bit of my personal experiences and stuff, some of my personal struggles. One of our brethren in church, he had a devotional. And he kind of had it down this line just a little bit. He was talking a lot to us singles. He had a valid concern, trying to get us to think about our status in life and what are we doing for the kingdom. We left shortly after, before the message. We got to the message, our pagers went off, and we went out on a vehicle call or a vehicle fire. And we got the fire out, and the captain that was on scene, he had gone directly to the scene. He's like, my children are back in church. I'm not sure what they're up to. I'm going home. And we get back, we're headed back to the station, and our lieutenant, he turns around in the engine, and he's like, so what do you guys think about the opening? And the rest of us on the truck were bachelors, and we had quite a debate. We got back to the station, and the lieutenant's like, I better get back to this church and make sure my children are in order yet, too. And I know whose little boy was jumping up and down the bench a couple weeks shortly prior when Dad went out of church. Anyhow, we had a lively discussion at the station, getting the truck back in order and all the supplies on. A week or so later, I left during chores, and we had a neighbor girl helping us chore at that time, little, I'm not sure, 11, 13-year-old. And I get a call, and I disappear. And one of my sisters come in the bar. She's like, where'd Enos go? Oh, he's gone serving the Lord. So anyhow, lackadaisical. Webster's definition is lacking life, spirit, or zest. Languid. Languid, if you go to that, it's drooping or flagging as from exhaustion. Weak, it's sluggish in character or disposition. Listless, lacking force or quickness of movement. Slow. So what some other words, just a general impression of it is a lot of people use it in implying a carefree indifference marked by half-hearted efforts. I did look up a bunch of synonyms, a few of them, listless, tired, spiritless, lethargic, sluggish, indolent, careless, apathetic, indifferent. Whereas you look at the antonyms to it are ambitious, energetic, kinetic, industrious, you know, get the picture. I was amazed at how many people didn't know what lackadaisical was. And committed, the definition there is to bring together to enjoin and trust, to give trust or charge, consign for safekeeping, consign for preservation or to bind by pledge or assurance. And some synonyms there are dedicated, loyal, devoted, staunch, faithful. For first reference this morning, let's turn to Revelation 3. Revelation 3, verse 14. And unto the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, from the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, and that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And then another reference, Matthew 19:11-12. And he saith unto them, all men cannot receive the saying, save that they do to whom it is given. But there are some eunuchs which were born from their mother's womb. And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. And there be eunuchs which are made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. This was Jesus talking right after the divorce subject. I don't care why you're single. If it's because you chose to be single, because you didn't choose to be single. You're single, and that's where God has called us. And God has called each one of us to be committed in our lot in life. And my thought is are we fulfilling our capacity as a single? It's easy for all of us to become lackadaisical, or at least myself, to get a little slack and maybe a little bit of the modern-day thinking slipping in. And that's what a lot of the married people around us look at, and they see the modern-day society around us, and it's probably creeping in. We're free to do and live as we please. Nobody's to be accountable to. No children to worry about raising. We don't have any children that are embarrassing us. We have no commitments. Or we'll live life and enjoy it for a few years before we settle down. Or maybe we're just trying to gain some wealth for self. The modern day thinking is to live a single life for a few years. And it is a concern that what is our single status? Are we single because God has called us here? Or are we single? Or God has called each one of us, obviously, to be single. But are we serving our capacity as a single for his kingdom? And what, you know, we have our lots as singles that we can do. School teachers, Sunday school has its roles. Children ministries and missions. There's nurses, geriatric care, obviously fire EMS, store owners and employees. Office personnel, aunts and uncles. We all have capacity with our role, our occupation. Are we committed? Are we fully devoted to these jobs? Are we fulfilling what God has for us? You know, the married folks are looking in, seeing us, you know, there's our little mission trips, but, well, they're more for pleasure. Hunting and fishing trips. And I'm not condemning this stuff. It's just more or less what they're seeing. And they're saying, maybe you're not fulfilling what God has for you. We can be maybe putting too much passion in our thrift shopping and browsing, other hobbies, excessive partying, which married people do a lot of this stuff themselves. I looked at a few examples of singles or widows in the Bible. And if we think about their daily lives, and I did a lot of these were either single widows or lived a period of their life as singles. Joseph, he was a young man, very young, taken away from his parents. And he lived in Egypt as a single for a number of years. And you look at his struggles that he went through, lived a pure life, all alone, no positive influence. Another person that I came across was Miriam. The Bible doesn't record that Miriam, Moses' sister, was ever married. Yet she was there by his side, assisting him. Another one that I couldn't find any record on is either was Joshua. It does say, as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. So there is it appears like he was possibly married, but we don't offhand see any record that Joshua himself was married. Ruth, she served her mother-in-law as a single, as a widow. And she was an outsider. She came in and assisted. Boaz, he would have been a single as well. But he lived a godly life, God-fearing life. He had his employees not only live the Mosaic law, requesting him to leave a certain amount of grain behind for the poor and needy, he asked him to leave more behind. One we don't really hear anything about is Jephthah's daughter. She likely lived a single life. Elijah and Elisha. There again, we don't read of them being married. But they lived a life committed to the Israel people. Jeremiah was another one. He was actually, God commanded him not to be married. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were all young men taken from home. And they were all single. Nehemiah, another one. John the Baptist. Anna, the one in the temple, she was a widow. But she served the Lord for many, many years, serving in the temple. Lydia, there again, opened her home to the disciples and the apostles, and very instrumental in the church. Dorcas is one that is a little unclear, but she would live a life of alms, very dedicated to the poor and the needy and the widows, reaching out. Martha and Mary Magdalene, we don't read of them being married either. And yet they followed Jesus, lived a committed life. The Apostle Paul, that one there you can have a lot of debate on, but possibly a widower. Timothy, appears like he was possibly single as well, living a life dedicated to the gospel, spreading the gospel. These men served in their capacity. As Bill mentioned yesterday, marriage is not the ultimate. And there's no place happier than in the Lord's will. 1 Corinthians 7. This is Apostle Paul discussing, bringing out his thoughts on a single life. Starting at verse 6. I speak this by permission and not of commandment. I would that all men were as I myself. But every man is proper gift of God. One after this manner, another after that. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and the widows, that it is good for them to abide, even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. It is better to marry than to burn. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried, and be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not of the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath And husband that believeth not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. To the unbelieving husband, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband, or how thou knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath so called to every one, let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. If any is called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, but uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but thou mayest be made free. Use it rather. For he that is called the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise, also is he that is called being free, is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man, wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. Yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that it is good for the present distress. I say, that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound to a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they have that have wives be as though that had none, and they that weep as though that they have wept not, and they that rejoice as though that they have rejoiced not, and they that buy as though that they have possessed not. For they that use this world as not abusing it, and the fashion of the world passeth away. I would that you would, without carefulness, he that is unmarried careth for the things that belongeth to the Lord, and how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, and how he may please his wife. The difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, and how she may be both whole, may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, and how she may please her husband. And this I speak of your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but that that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. This chapter, a lot of people look into it. My research, digging into this, which we could continue reading toward the end of the chapter, but my research in this, due to the current distress, that was one word, a phrase that stuck out to me. It was not... If you go back to the Bible times, marriage, if you weren't married, you were pretty much the unclean, the unacceptable. And Paul was trying to say, no, you are equal in the Lord. You are equal level with Christ as a single. And actually, because of the current distress, which was extreme persecution, they were under Nero at this time. He was using Christians as candles in his gardens. He was saying, as a single, you don't have families to take care about. You can spread the gospel and not be needing to worry about your wife or your children or your husband or whatever. A single is equal in God's sight. So today, the singles, are we fulfilling what God has called us to? Where are we Sunday mornings? Are we in our church services? Or are we off partying? Or just going on trips? I'm totally fine with going and visiting different communities. But are we in church Sunday mornings? Does everybody know and expect you to be in church? Or are you off doing your own thing? Church standards or guidelines, whatever your church has, are you supporting them? Church functions, It's sometimes easy as a single to feel left out or get separated. There can be awkward times, but how often is it us excluding ourselves, not them separating from us? And another one that we have heard about already is reaching out to teens and children. As singles, we have time for them. In Luke 19, start at verse 12 through 27 there, we see the account of the nobleman going into a far country and leaving each person, some with 5, 10, and 5, and 1 pound, to be accountable for. There's not a single one of us here that hasn't been given 1. You may not be given 10 or 5, but each of one of us were given 1 to be accountable for. What are we doing with that 1? Are we being committed? Are we using it to the best of our ability? In Titus 2, and I take time to read that sometime on your own. Titus 2, we look at that one. It starts with the word but. But speak thou the things that which become sound doctrine. We look back at the previous chapter. It talks about the unclean, the undefiled, the defiled, and that. But if you look down through, it talks about the aged woman and the men. Is this not reaching out to us as older singles? Are we supposed to be the aged men and the aged lady, a woman, reaching out to the younger ones? Are we setting examples? Are we reaching to the young teenagers that need somebody to reach out to? This is the Christian walk of life. How committed are we? In 1 Corinthians 16:15, it says that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. In 2 Timothy 4:5, it says to make full proof of your ministry. What is your ministry? Are you making full proof of it? 1 Timothy 4:15 says to meditate on these things and give thyself wholly to them, that profiting may appear to all, or in all things. Is our profiting appearing in all things? 2 Corinthians 4, there again, it starts with the word therefore, that chapter. Therefore, if we look back, we look at the old man and the childish man. Are we, therefore, having this ministry and renouncing the hidden things of the heart? Are we, if our gospel's hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Is our gospel being hid to the lost around us? That whole chapter has a lot. We have a treasure in earthen vessels. We do. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed and not in despair. We have God at our side. There's a lot of power there in that chapter as well to look into. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them as one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep at his right hand, and the goats on his left. Then shall the king say to them at his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee? Or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Or naked, and clothed thee? When saw we see When saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And then the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? And then he shall answer them, saying, Verily, I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. This is a life of ministry. The lady, the cantankerous lady at the checkout, what for witness are we leaving? Does she see a smile of God's love? And almost an angelic response. Classroom. Get that struggling child. Does God's love radiate through you as a teacher? Some of these foreign countries, or even in our cities, are we ministering to those that are laying in the gutters and outside? Perhaps you're working in the old homes. With the geriatric care. Nobody else comes to visit them. And yet, your expression of God's love, your angelic shadows coming in and caring for them. For them, it could be a possible comfort and peace extended from God, your only reach. At the tragic scene, expressing God's frailty, the frailty of life, do you bring closure and comfort to the aching and crying hearts? What about the cantankerous neighbor at construction site? How's your life radiating to them? What do they see in your life? Or your own upset customer? The fellow driver that cuts you off? What do they see? Do they get an angry horn blow? Finger raised? A fist? For response, it can be just simple niece or nephew that you just give a little bit of one-on-one time with, that they need your care. Mom's busy, dad's busy, they just need somebody to care for them and minister to them. Commitment is going to have to be a lifestyle. It doesn't matter what a role is, it's a commitment, it's a lifestyle. It's a challenge to me, it's a challenge to I want to pass to each one of you. Are we living life as committed, challenged, committed to serving those around us? And it has to be a lifestyle. A lackadaisical lifestyle would be considered a lukewarm lifestyle. So because thou art lukewarm, neither hot, cold, nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth. And hearing the words, Depart from me, I never knew you. I'm hoping Brother Bill has a lot of advice to help us to reach some of these goals. I don't want to be over oppressive with my thoughts that none of us are attaining it, but just use that one talent that God has given you.